On the KSRO live line with us is Susan Bass. She is the Senior Vice President of Programs and Operations for the Earth Day Network. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
I'm thrilled that you're here. And I didn't know much about the Earth Day Network, I'm afraid, until yesterday when I started doing some research about you and what you do. And it is quite the resource.
Yes, we're really excited. Our big day is around the corner.
Yeah.
We're the organization that grew out of the first Earth Day, but we're still dealing with even more challenges today, and we have a really exciting campaign this year about ending plastic pollution, and I'm excited to have the opportunity to share some tips and ideas with your listeners.
Me too, and I think it will be great for all of us to hear what you've got to say. Let's start at the beginning, though. 1970, the first Earth Day. Who gets the credit for that?
Well, Senator Gaylord Nelson was working on the idea, and he brought in a team of young organizers, including Dennis Hayes, who still works with us as our honorary board chair.
Oh, yes.
And together they expanded the concept from a teach-in to a massive mobilization of 20 million Americans from all walks of life.
And so we go. So from 1970, what's that, 48 years? That Earth Day has...
We're coming up to our 50th in 2020.
Yeah, that'll be a big one, no doubt. And, of course, we'll talk about the Sonoma County activities going on Saturday in just a bit. But nationally speaking, let's talk about evolution, if we can. It
sure
seems like we're in some ways, and some would consider them small ways, we're in much better shape now. We are very good recyclers, by and large. That's got to help. You know, our cars are becoming more and more electric. That's a very good thing. In what ways are we still really challenged, Susan?
Well, we have a new set of challenges. You know, in the first Earth Day, they were dealing with air and water pollution and hazardous waste. Today, we're dealing with challenges like global warming and plastic pollution. And I think what's exciting about plastic pollution is it's really an opportunity for everyone to make it a difference. This was a substance that didn't really even exist and was not a threat during the first Earth Day. But today, because of the increase in manufacturing and use and the demand by consumers in large part, that it's really become a threat both to our human health and to our planet. So, but the good news is that people can mobilize, people can take action in their own lives, and there's also the technology on the horizon to deal with this problem.
And I am stymied every time I hear about it, every time I think about it, Susan, of the Great Pacific Garbage Dump, this huge area in the Pacific. And I'm sure you have better information than I do about how big it is.
Yeah, but it's about the size of the state of Texas.
Wow, which is huge, of course.
Yes.
And I guess I don't get it. Is it that it cannot be cleaned up? Is it that there's so much incoming garbage that it sort of overlays the efforts to clean it up? What is it?
I think it is at this point very difficult. A lot of people feel that, you know, they could just develop the technology to address this problem, and there's some things we can do. But the problem is, you know, plastic, it's not the large pieces anymore. It disintegrates into smaller pieces, and they become increasingly difficult to clean up. I think, you know, there are people and technologies focused on trying to deal with these large patches of plastic, but the focus really now has to be on stopping the plastic from getting into our oceans, and not only into our oceans, but into our drinking water. And, you know, people are now, even when they buy bottled water, they're finding that there's plastics now in, I think they've found BPA in 93% of urine samples taken from people recently. So the plastic is getting into our bodies, and I think that's what we need to really focus on in addition to cleaning up the plastic in our oceans.
Yeah, like there's not enough to think about with regard to this issue, Susan, and, right. And now you're right, we have to think about that. With regard to that area of the Pacific, which is one of the most dramatic pictures, I think, really, that's available to us, is it an international problem? Is it can we blame it on other countries, or are we equally to blame for that?
Sure. I mean, there are some countries that probably contribute a little bit more to that specific problem, but they're dealing with issues like improving their waste management systems. But, you know, there is a problem here in our country, and there's probably no community that's not seeing an increase in plastic pollution in either their protected areas or in their water systems. So I think everyone really needs to focus on this now.
I understand. I read about an article about scientists who are working on enzymes that eat plastic, that they're hoping, you know, one day to be able to develop enough to drop a whole bunch of them into this, you know, these particular areas, including the Great Pacific Garbage Dump. Wouldn't that be a great way to go?
Yeah, and I think it's exciting. As I mentioned, I think there's an important role for technology in all aspects of the plastic pollution problem, from creating products. A lot of manufacturers now are looking at plastic to, you know, plastic substitutes for their products, which would be great, and then cleaning up at the end. But again, it's much easier if you stop plastic from getting into the waterways and into our body than having to come up with technology solutions to clean up the pollution.
And even when, I mean, we're in the Bay Area, Susan, we're pretty ecologically savvy, and we pay attention to this sort of thing every single day. But I can tell you, I was on the phone with our local garbage hauler, who is also in charge of the recycling program. And we make a huge dent in our garbage because of what we recycle. But she told me what they call plastic film, which means the plastic that covers paper towels, napkins, you know, when you buy it at the store or at Costco,
right,
or whatever, that's not recyclable. So
yes,
all of that stuff,
and,
you know, what do we do then? Do we stop?
And,
you know,
plastic packaging, you know, is one of the fastest growing areas of the problem.
Huge.
Recent years. And because it can't be recycled. And again, the exciting news is consumers can really change this. Stores and shopping centers, they'll listen to consumers and what they demand. So a lot of consumers now are asking for stores to have plastic-free aisles, where consumers can bring their own containers and bags and not have to use packages that are wrapped in plastic.
Yeah.
And consumers can let manufacturers know and their retail stores.
Okay, that's
that
another good idea.
Is, you know, what the future they want to see, and that we don't really need these layers of plastic anymore, that there are alternatives. And this is important, and that they will shop and buy products that do not have plastic packaging.
They're harder to find. There's no question about it. It takes more effort to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think obviously it's all worth it. And it costs more money generally for the folks who package without using plastic. But that's where, I guess, personal responsibility comes into play. One of the things that I like about the Earth Day Network is, well, like I said at the top, it's a great resource. Also, there are, I believe, 45 Earth Day tips for us to use. You know, it's very plain spoken, easy to do. We know about, you know, reusable bottles for water and packing our lunch, you know, not using a different paper bag every day. But there are some other tips in here that really are a great idea. And I have to tell you, Susan, I'm still trying to get used to this weird glow that the correct light bulbs give off. So with the CFLs or the LEDs, I use them.
LEDs.
Right. But I'm still trying to get used to that particular glow from them.
Yeah, I think, you know, with every product, there's a transition period, and things will continue to improve, which is really exciting. And we also have, I should mention, on our website, which is www.earthday.org, we have a plastic pollution calculator, which I think is really informative for people to understand just how much that their personal impact, what their personal impact is on this problem. And it can help you really add up the numbers of what you contribute. And then there's also an opportunity for you to make a pledge to start to address the problem. You don't have to do 100%, but you can look and find out, you know, what are the things that you really don't need to do or that you could change pretty easily or start with. And it's very
helpful. It's very enlightening, you know, that particular survey part of your website, earthday.org, because a lot of us who think that we're doing a pretty good job could do a lot more when it comes to this sort of thing.
Right. And even, you know, just discussing it when you go out, when you go to a restaurant and they offer you a straw, and just letting them know, well, you know, I really don't need to use a straw.
Yeah.
Or if I need a straw, maybe you could switch to, you know, a non-plastic straw. There are alternatives now, paper, bamboo. So it's,
hey, in California, we're banning straws. We're getting
right.
close to doing that. And in some cities, that's already been done. But, you know, that's the future for sure. I mean, really, who needs a straw?
Yeah, I mean, right now they estimate 500,000 straws are used in the world every day. I mean, just that number is so extraordinary. It's hard to really believe.
A lot of this is, but some simple solutions, I guess that's sort of the crux of the whole thing, what we can do ourselves. And I think getting in touch with our local leaders, state and federal leaders too, and the manufacturers of the products we buy, I think that's an excellent idea. Always strength in numbers, right?
Absolutely. And we are working with mayors on Earth Day. We have our Global Day of Conversation where we ask mayors to issue proclamations and talk to their constituents about Earth Day and what they're going to do on this problem. So we encourage, again, your listeners to reach out to their mayors if their community is not being proactive about dealing with plastic waste. Now's the time to let your mayor know this is something that you think is a priority and that they should be taking action on. There are lots of models of things that other communities are doing, from banning, you know, bags, putting taxes
yeah.
on them, recycling, lots of ideas
as,
out there.
As always, Susan, squeaky wheel gets the grease, and collective
right.
squeaky wheels get even more grease, so we should
yeah,
go that route.
That's the same, you know, the message of Earth Day is that, you know, the power is in the individual to bring about change, so that's what we're encouraging this Earth Day again.
Power to the people. That hasn't changed since 1970. Susan,
absolutely.
So glad to have you with us this morning. Happy Earth Day to you and yours. And earthday.org is the website. Lots of great information there. Happy Earth Day to you, Susan.
Thank you again.
That is Susan Bass, the Senior Vice President of Programs and Operations for the Earth Day Network, of course, in Santa Rosa. Courthouse Square, it's hip, it's happening, it's now. The square is becoming very popular for community gatherings, and that will be the case on Saturday.